Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoy this episode with one of the funniest human beings on the planet, Eddie Pepitone. He's the man. Make sure you watch his special on YouTube and come see me on the road. Texas, Oklahoma, I'm coming to see you. Enjoy this episode with Eddie Pepitone. And maybe while you're listening and you live in Dallas, Houston, or Oklahoma City, you buy tickets. Dallas is close to sold out. That's March 19th. March 20th, I'm going to be in Houston, Texas. Houston, come and see me. I know I said the name of the venue wrong and they got mad because it's the Cullen Performance Hall. So I'm sorry. If this is why you're not buying tickets, Houston, I apologize. I was wrong. It's the Cullen Performance Hall. Come see me at the Cullen Performance Hall. If you're mad at how I'm saying it or anything, I promise I will correct my behavior. But go to dansoder.com. I'm going to be in Houston March 20th and then Oklahoma City March 21st. Bringing Matt Ross and Brendan Sagalo. It's going to be a hell of a show. You got the band back together, baby. Oklahoma City, I'm going to be at the Tower Theater March 21st. DanSoder.com. Please buy tickets, and I'll see you out on the road. Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour, almost done. There's only a few weeks left before we film this. So come and check out one of the shows, DanSoder.com. Full listings for all the dates. I love you. Enjoy the podcast. I'm sorry if I interrupt. I promise I'm trying to work on it. I just get so excited. First time I got to like really watch you do a set was at the Old Creek in the Cave on like a Wednesday night for like maybe 12 people on this show Rebecca Trent used to produce called Monsters.
I think so.
And you just talked about the Pulaski Bridge for 15 minutes. It was one of my favorite sets I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
And now I know what the Pulaski Bridge is. I used to cross that bridge all the time and I was always like, it's the bridge that goes between Queens and Brooklyn. And you were like, this is where comedy lives at the foot of the Pulaski Bridge.
Well, you know what it's like. It's like when you're up there, you're like trying to find that vein of something that inspires you to be funny. And I think that night, I just loved the name Pulaski. And that bridge, I had never been to that, to Rebecca's place over there. And that bridge is so kind of ominous. It's right across the street. It's this huge steel structure.
And it also isn't sexy like a lot of the bridges in New York.
It's not
Brooklyn,
sexy.
Manhattan. You have all the Williamsburg Bridge. They have all this like stuff. Pulaski Bridge is like, this is very necessary. So you don't get, it's a very like inner borough bridge where it's almost don't even realize you're going Queens to Brooklyn. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I did just cross over.
Hal, did we just go into Queens? I don't know.
I don't know. It looks all the same. You grew up in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn till I was nine. I grew up in Brooklyn enough to get traumatized by different things, man.
What I mean, crime or what traumatized you?
A little bit of crime.
Yeah.
You know, I was threatened. As a child, my parents would do that. My parents threatened me.
So you can take the New York energy anywhere.
I can.
There you go. You can be. I wasn't raised in Brooklyn, but my parents brought the Brooklyn energy to Iowa when they told me they would cut my feet off if I talked to the cops.
Did you see any? I'm thinking of this because I was watching it last night. Did you see any of the Scorsese documentary yet?
No.
It's on Apple TV. Yeah.
What's screwing me up about Scorsese right now?
Yeah.
His daughter is doing social media content with him, and it feels like when they made, do you know at the end where they made Jake LaMotta perform, or what they're doing right now with
in Raging Bull?
Yeah, no, but at the end where he would do those live shows and he was doing comedy.
Oh no, don't tell me it seems like that.
That's what it feels like. I don't really know if Marty knows what's going on. Where she'll be we're doing an internet trend, and he'll be like, and his daughter's way younger than him, you know, because he had her as an old dad.
Oh man, this, you know, these big guys who try to take their family along.
You're making me feel crazy. Just say it's nepotism, and then I'll get over it faster. Right. I'll go, hey, it's nice to be born into a family. Like the Vanderbilts or the fucking Rockefellers weren't going, it's not nepotism. My son's taking over the company because he did very well.
Look, Standard Oil would have went to someone just like him, my son.
I wasn't going to give it to a Rockefeller. It just happens to be the same last name.
We took a lot of applications. Yeah. And my son, John Jr., just happened to be the best fitted.
Yeah. That's the part that that's the disconnect between famous people and reality, where you go, just admit it, and then we can get over it. It was like when Liberace came out.
Don't talk to me about Liberace.
I mean, it was funny. My grandma, thought Liberace was straight until, the 80s.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
I recently watched, again, Good Night and Good Luck.
Oh, yeah, Edwin R. Murrow.
Yeah, with Edwin R. Murrow, and he interviewed Liberace, and he was like, the question was something like, are you thinking of settling down, getting married? Yeah. He was like, Ed, maybe I'm too much of a perfectionist, but I'm just looking for the right woman.
Yeah, and you go, sure. A woman that's a man. It's the same with Clark Gable used to live with this other Hollywood star, and it was clear that they were gay and in love. And you look at their pictures, and it just recently came up on the internet that I saw in this subreddit, Old School Cool, they show pictures of old stuff. And it was a magazine spread, and it was Joe and Clark Gable, and I forget who the other guy is, as they show you their bachelor pad. And they're at the pool sunning, and they're they're sunning. Look, they play chess. Oh, they have a dog together. It's they're a gay couple.
Yeah.
And then they were and then people in the comments were it's actually a very sad story. They were in love.
Yeah.
And the studio was hey, you cannot be seen with him.
Right.
And that's when it's sad, but you're
right.
It fooled people.
Absolutely. People weren't that savvy unless you were a jazz musician back then.
There he goes. Baby, they suck in each other's face. Yeah, right. That's what it is. Honey, I'm going to tell you right now, they play each other like trombone. And they're like, oh, stop it. Would you leave me alone, Stray Cat Allen? Or they have a jazz name?
They always knew what was happening, the jazz guys.
Why was that? Was it because they were just out performing in nightclubs?
I think so. And they were smoking weed. And
they were the fringe of society?
I don't really know, Dan. I just threw that out there. I didn't know I was going to get grilled on lip.
I don't know.
Why is it with the jazz people?
This is what you get for talking to somebody that's a lifetime pothead, is you get lifetime pothead questions where you go, why is that? I never thought about that. But yeah, I mean, those Liberace coming out, I almost want to do research on it because
he did come out.
Can you look that up? I want to see if Liberace actually was by the way,
hello,
I'm gay.
All these candelabras are for a reason.
I like to see, I like to light pussy. Yeah.
He came out on Theo Vaughn's podcast,
that's
right?
That's what it was. he was like, man, that makes a lot of sense. You sucking and fucking. Man,
that makes
I have a friend named Straight Liberace. He just wears a lot of diamonds. Liberace never officially came out as gay. Publicly denied his homosexuality until he died of AIDS-related pneumonia in February of 87. Man, AIDS was like, if you guys aren't going to say it, I'm going to say it. AIDS, that's what AIDS did in the 80s. It went,
hell yeah.
Too many motherfuckers are keeping a secret.
Yeah, yeah. AIDS was the great liberator.
Well, my family's from San Francisco, and they would almost talk about it like an army invaded.
Like a what?
Like an army invaded San Francisco, where they'd be well, then 80s, in the 80s with AIDS, and you're like, well, yeah, you guys had so many bathhouses. It was probably the bathhouses. The bathhouse industry took a beating.
It did.
Because of AIDS.
It did. I never got to the bathhouses.
Yeah.
I still have friends who tell me, not kidding, who tell me to go to a Turkish bath.
Oh, the Russian bath.
Say it, you know, it's great. It gets all the toxins out.
I'm not trying to sleep with you. Yeah, I'm not trying to play with your penis. You get the fuck out of my face with that. And they go, all right. It's funny as if you do take that stance, you just look incredibly homophobic. We're like, I'm not going to the bathhouse. Like, it's a soak. Your skin.
They call it a soak. Yeah. They have one word descriptions of it.
But you said you grew up in Brooklyn until you were nine and you were heavily traumatized.
I'm thinking of the Scorsese thing because I kind of understand him now. I've watched three episodes of this doc, and I always was like a little critical because I'm an asshole of Scorsese being so violent, like just incredible violence. And then after watching this shit, he witnessed it.
Oh, really?
And his you know, the neighborhood he grew up in. He grew up in Mott and Mulberry. He had an uncle who was in the mob. Like, it was right there in his face, you know. He grew up with tough kids.
Yeah.
You know, he was an asthmatic who...
Which, by the way, back then, good
not
luck.
Good. Not
they,
good,
they thought you were defective.
Yes.
Like, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and if you had an inhaler then, everyone was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're asthmatic? But imagine in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, my God.
Growing up, and people are like, Marty can't breathe. And he's like, please stop killing people in front of me.
Stop. So what he did, because he really couldn't go out much because of his condition, he would just look through his window, and he had a bunch of windows, and they were saying it was like frames in a film.
Holy shit.
So he was just groomed because of his asthma. Spike Lee was interviewed, and he said, thank God for asthma. We got one of the best filmmakers ever. So...
But that's always the thing with... I was obsessed with biographies for a long time because you always see like a through line of something that where you go, oh, it was their weakness and then they made it their strength.
Yes.
And it's like Scorsese trapped inside, but then we get Goodfellas, Raging Bull, we get Casino because he watched all that shit.
Exactly. He watched that shit. And I know it too from just having great fear locked up in me. And comedy is such a great way to get it out, I think. Yeah. I don't know about you, but cathartic, it's a cathartic thing sometimes.
When you say something that you think only you feel and you feel insecure for feeling it, and the first time you say it in a joke and more than one person laughs, you go like,
yeah,
holy shit, all right, maybe I'm not completely alone in this.
Exactly. And
that's always the thing I've always loved about comedy.
Absolutely.
Where you go like, oh, I can talk about something that used to traumatize me and now I can make fun of it and people go like, great.
That actually, I realize that's the deal. Like, if you can really be honest about your shit, then people like, oh, thanks, man. Like, I get a lot of thanks, man, you really helped me through the pandemic. I'm like, really?
Well, because you do, what I love about it, you is you come in with this energy of like, I can relate to feeling it even if I don't express it. I mean, the way your last special starts with just the Apple Watch.
The
is
collapse.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Where you just like immediately go into it and you're like, what kind of fucking data do you want from me? Like, I am falling. I did fall. I'm falling emotionally. I'm falling. And
Like, it's not a fall. It's one long descent into hell. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think is like, when someone says that, you can feel anxiety and not know that you're feeling it, and then someone can say something that you go, that is what I'm feeling. I feel fucking crazy right now. Especially them monitoring everything.
Everything now is like going off the rails, dude.
Yeah, this is why I was saying, you know, it was a joke that I did, but I don't really know if I'm going to keep doing it on stage, but I was like, for the first time in my life, identify with people who are anti-trans, because a lot of these anti-trans people are like, don't give kids chemicals, you shouldn't let, and I, you know, I'm a pretty compassionate person where I go, I think they should let their lives, but the reason I feel that way is because they're starting to give fat kids Ozempic, and what? I go, don't
kids?
Yeah, and I go, don't do that, we need our fat kids, we need our funny people, you're the pharmaceutical industry is going to take away our charming, sweet and funny people. You need fat kids.
Or we need our, another angle is, we need our scapegoats. We need certain people to be fat. So we can feel better about ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, that's something.
Also, I've always wanted to put chocolate ice cream in a Klondike bar. But maybe it was a fat person that was brave enough. Maybe it was a former fat teenager. Let kids, and granted, I wasn't fat as a teenager, but I did have an abnormally large head and a very skinny body. So it was a different thing. I wouldn't want head shaving surgery. Let these big domed kids know what it feels like to not find a fitted hat.
I didn't know they're giving kids Ozempic.
You're starting to give them that like weight loss thing. It always starts with the rich people, but then it trickles down because rich people do it. And then middle class, or what was the middle class people now go like, well, I got to do that for my kid. And honestly, insecurities, I don't think when you're a teenager, you realize that insecurities become your superpower when you're older. Just like Martin, like what you were saying with Martin Scorsese. He's like,
yeah,
he's like inside can't breathe. And now this guy is still making great movies for four decades.
Yeah. What was his last one?
It was after The Irishman, he did...
The Irishman.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Was really good, too.
See what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Good for asthma.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what? If you work with your hands, you got a blue-collar job, I probably have said this on the podcast before, but I mean it. There is certain work clothes, and we can't say it because this is a commercial for their competitor, but there's a certain brand of work clothes that got fashionably cool and then completely outpriced for people that actually do the work, you know, like really hard work and need good jackets for outside work. Well, guess what? Brunt Workwear has got all you covered. Founder Eric Girard grew up blue collar. He created Brunt after friends in the trades told him big legacy brands, the ones I was talking about, stopped listening and became fashion companies. I just nailed that. That's exactly what I was saying. But guess what? Brunt's got you covered. It's named after real guys Eric grew up with, actual hardworking tradesmen. It's traditional work boots forced it to be comfortable and durable because that's what the people need. So no painful break-ins, no sore feet, no stiff leather battles. It's comfort right out the box. Brunt Workwear. Not only do they have boots, they got a bunch of stuff. But the boots are where you're going to start, and then you're going to fall in love with everything else. So Brunt isn't just about work boots. They got a full range of high-performance gear. I'm telling you, heavy-duty work pants, weather-resistant jackets. Check them out. Brunt was tired of workwear brands out there cutting corners. You work too hard to be stuck in uncomfortable boots that don't hold up, so they built something better. Boots that are instantly comfortable and built for any job. For a limited time, our listeners get $10 off at Brunt when you use the code SODER at checkout. Just head to Brunt, that's B-R-U-N-T, workwear.com, use the code SODER, and you're good to go. After the order, they're going to ask where you heard about Brunt. Do us a favor and let them know that we sent you. Let's talk about Babbel. Man, I wish I knew another language. I think it would make me funnier. I could use words that mean something funny in a different language. And I didn't. I just learned. I barely learned English. I speak incorrectly all the time. But guess what? If you got Babbel, it's time to learn a new language. Learning a language with Babbel is all about small steps, big wins, and progress you can actually track and feel. Their bite-sized lessons fit easily in your daily routine and are also easy to remember. Just 10 minutes a day is enough to start seeing real results. However you learn best, by listening, speaking, reading, writing, Babbel adapts to your style, keeps you motivated with personal learning plans, real-time feedback, and progress tracking. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. 60% off at babbel.com/soder. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/soder, spelled BABBEL.com/soder. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, but you're saying that he's now looking a little old with his daughter doing this.
He's trying to do modern things. He's trying to do TikToks and stuff. Where it's like,
somebody should do parodies of old celebrities doing TikToks with their daughter. It's and like they have complete dementia and their daughters are like, what's that?
See, they're like making him like, this is him with his daughter doing a trend. He just looks bothered by the camera. He's not even rapping.
What the hell is she in?
A Kool-Aid costume in his office.
Oh, man.
That's what I mean. And you watch it, and he just looks bothered at the beginning.
He should.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you filming me?
I don't know. My daughter, I could see him being interviewed. My daughter is, it's so funny how De Niro and him talk in shorthand, like the Italian thing where they don't say much, because enough said. You know, it's like, I don't know what my daughter's like. No, just going for the ride.
I don't like the way his daughter shot that. Marty wouldn't have shot it like that. I'm just saying. They bring in De Niro and all them to interview about the movies, and they end up talking about her TikTok the whole time. She doesn't have a lot of followers. It's not a good look.
I myself thought about getting into TikTok. I wish I could do De Niro.
De Niro going, I got a baby. About 5 years, I'm not going to know where I am.
Does he have a baby?
He just had a baby at 80 years. Him and Pacino. Pacino had a baby at like 80.
Yes.
And I know it's talked about, but it's like, what are you doing?
I had a bit where I was like, you know what kind of father Pacino is? Like, he's at home going, get this fucking thing off my fucking foot.
He doesn't understand what the fuck it is.
Right. He's like, he's just too old to deal with.
I'm wondering, why is there a little child grabbing my leg? I need to know what this is. It's not a human. It doesn't eat solid foods.
Great. So now I'm in parenthood.
Yeah. You almost wonder if he was tricked into coming in that woman. Like where she was like, this is part of the massage, Mr. Pacino. And he goes, now I
Who
lay
is,
on
is
you.
It, is it someone he's been with for a long time?
It's
Barbara Walters.
82
kid.
Years old. That's so funny. She was 29.
And he was 82. Well, that's the
fourth
lifestyle.
Fourth child.
He looks good, Pacino.
Eddie, I don't agree with you. He always looks like he just took goggles off his face.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Wow.
He looks like he was watching Oppenheimer, like the like he was in the desert watching the explosion. That's going to kill a lot of Japanese people. He's just taking off those glasses.
Yeah, I think it's powerful enough.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to blow up a lot of That was odd, but I'm sorry. I think we have to go with Cillian Murphy. He's just a little more. I want to play Oppenheimer. Whoa. That bomb. That's a big bomb.
I love that we're doing Oppenheimer and De Niro, these old school impersonations.
Yeah, all Gen Z gets it. But I do think that should be a new form of elder abuse is social media clips when they don't know what they're doing. Trends that they don't know.
Yeah, and I guess it would be forcing them.
Because they are forcing them.
Really?
There's no way Martin Scorsese was like, hey, did you see the Four Non-Blondes, Nicki Minaj thing where it's half Four Non-Blondes and then you rap Nicki Minaj? Can we do that?
Honey, let's do the Nicki Minaj.
I'm going to set this up. I need 9 hours to set up the shot. So he's just continuously filming. She's like, we did it. Oh, no. You found another thing that upset you.
Is this another Scorsese? Yes. Yes. The kid. You would think the kid would be better looking. Just because. No, I mean it. Just because he's a big celebrity. You would think they get raised in an environment where they would be
expensive lotions.
Yes, lotions.
They go to the parts of the world where the sun doesn't give you cancer.
Yes,
like St. Barth.
Am I out of line to say that?
No, not at all. Can I be honest? And I know this is probably going to be a popular opinion, but I thought a very similar thing when I saw it for the first time. I went, oof, like Marty.
Yeah.
Marty, you're going to have a kid old. Better be a hot kid.
Yes.
Because, come on, what are you doing?
Not hot, just like kind of like.
Yeah. Also, it's never the celebrity that wants to do the trend. And then it just makes me think like, well, your daughter's just holding you up. Your daughter's just making you do this. This is elder abuse.
Yes.
Maybe if you would have abused your kid more, they wouldn't have. You know, I don't know. I'm just trying to keep it.
That's a really unpopular. I didn't know this was the unpopular podcast.
I'm saying all the stuff that everyone's afraid to say.
My manager, like, Eddie, we've had some problems with the Soder podcast.
We have to have it pulled. He got you to do a TikTok trend where it's very big in the Charlie Kirk community.
Oh,
there you go. He got Eddie Pepitone to walk right into that.
Oh, God. So do you have a kid?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Because I do this thing where I go, do you believe people are still having children?
It's crazy.
Has anybody glanced at a newspaper?
It's crazy.
Or just looked around?
Also, have you felt the weather?
Like, yes.
We're getting days in the summer that are 112 in places, yes, and then it snows like it's, yes, fucking day after tomorrow. And then we go, oh, well.
This is a good time to have a child.
Well, it's the people that go, it's called global warming, I thought. And then they're having kids and you go, you're going to get that apocalypse. Dumb people have a lot of kids.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nuisance for the apocalypse.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because you're going to have to kill your kids.
Totally.
Not me.
Totally. They're going to have to be used for fuel, like, yeah, children.
Yeah. And if, at best case scenario, you're giving up the youngest one for adrenochromes for the leader, you know, so they can
scare. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. What's an adrenochrome?
It's a fake theory that the Illuminati, they said, like, the Clintons and all of them would scare kids and then drink this fluid out of their brain that gave. And you go,
yeah,
that's so made up.
Oh, God.
That it's just fun to reference.
By the way, what has happened to our world? And do you think there'll Internet. Be a civil war?
Possibly. I think
it sure seems like it's going in that direction.
I think the way we get out of this is what Colin Quinn said. What
did he say?
He said we either sell the United States, as he says, knock down the Rockies, do an open concept, which is one of my favorite lines.
I love him.
But he also was like, He made a great point in his special Red State, Blue State, where he said the difference, I'm going to fuck up this, but the difference between Minnesota and Florida, think about culturally how different those two are. It's the difference between, like, Germany and Italy, where he's like, it's the same distance. And those are two completely different countries with different histories.
Oh, yeah.
He's right. Like, maybe we just split up. Maybe we bake, you know. In the special, he goes, 250 years, that's a good run for a band. But you break up. You break up and maybe I don't know. I think it's going to shift to, I think the internet is doing more harm than good.
Yeah, I think so too.
As we just talked about Martin Scorsese, one of the greatest artistic minds of our.
Right. There was an article today that TikTok settled a lawsuit about being addictive. And they admitted certain ways they market it or something.
Well, they do it like the same way that people get addicted to slot machines, where every time they pull it. There was a 60 Minutes piece like 15 years ago about this where they said, it was like around 2011, 2012, they did a piece where they were like, the guy, he was a former programmer for Facebook. This is when Facebook was still the rage. And he was like, no, it's a targeted dopamine hits
where that's been going on
where they go like, if you keep going, then we'll give you something that will create a reaction out of you. So then you want to keep going.
You ever read the book? And this was a while ago, Dopamine Nation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They found out a way to just like get us to be lab rats and touch the button.
Absolutely. I just like Instagram. I don't know why I don't do TikTok.
See, I stopped with Instagram. It was,
you did.
There was a thing about it
that might have to
bumming me out. No, I still post on it, and I still will look at it. But it lost happened? Being my primary thing. I like Reddit because Reddit's really good for.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but I don't go to the comedy shit. I go to like sports or movies or like entertainment, and then you go. Now, granted, you can get lost down wormholes in that because
absolutely
very, but like. My negative experience with Reddit was going on and looking at comedy shit.
Oh.
Because I love comedy shit, and then I would see stuff that would just make me... Yeah. I don't go to any of my friends' subreddits. I don't go to any... I keep it impersonal. If you look at my feed, it's all like sports, movies, wrestling, and then like dogs. A lot of dog stuff.
Love dog stuff.
But now the algorithm grabbed me. All they're putting up now on Reddit in my algorithm feed is dogs that are dying. Like,
oh, dude, no,
like final posts. And I had to mute pics of dogs. I'm sorry, r/ pics of dogs, but I had to mute it.
I can't do that.
Because I was just like on my couch and it'd be like, this is Buster. He's been through everything. And you go, I see where it's going, I go, I can't read this.
No,
I was crying on the toilet this morning. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, I have been a huge fan of therapy. I tell people, probably the point that you're sick of hearing it, you're probably rolling your eyes right now. Well, if you're rolling your eyes, you probably need therapy. How about that? We'll play that little game. If you're rolling your eyes at this ad, everybody needs therapy. Everybody needs someone to talk to. You're a human being with, Myrtle sneezing at me, but I don't care. I'm telling you, being a human being has complicated feelings. We're not a dog. We can't just bury our face in a stuffed bee and suck a hole that looks like it's BH. We can't do that. You're a human being. You have complicated emotions. I hope she's not eating that as I poke her. But check out BetterHelp. You're disgusting. You need a haircut so bad. Check out BetterHelp. Go talk to somebody. Because when you talk to someone, you can actually, process your emotions and understand what you're feeling. Your emotional well-being matters. Find support and feel lighter in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/Soder. That's BetterHelp.com/Soder. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
I watched a video where a dog had they now selling very little guns to dogs, and he had a gun to his head, and the voiceover was like, if he doesn't get something to eat soon, he's going to blow his brains off. Out.
I would love the commercial of you and then you walking down the kennel going, to camera, hi, I'm Eddie Pepitone. Dog suicide is a very real thing. Guns.
I have a bit where, do you know about the Pentagon, of course, has done this, robotic dogs?
Oh, are you talking about Boston Dynamics?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're,
you're on top of that.
I'm very afraid of them.
Oh, my God.
The way they move, like the robots.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Weep, weep, weep.
Yes.
No.
So, of course, they're contracted out by the military. And the LAPD used them in a hostage. You know this, Mike? But I have this bit where I go, these robotic dogs. First of all, thank you, Pentagon, for making my favorite thing in the fucking world into a dystopian nightmare. But secondly, I'm still worried about them because I'm worried about the strays, the stray robotics. I mean, once the software is upgraded, there's going to be all these strays roaming around, and they can, they're nimble, yes, and they can move 150 miles an hour, and yes, they're weaponized. But I could see someone like, this is the bit, Sally Struthers saying, these dogs need to be loved too, even though they don't have any emotions, and the dog is just climbing up and down a skyscraper behind her.
These dogs have nowhere to be plugged in at night.
Oh, that's help I'm going to take that.
Help find a place for them to port. Yeah, it is second that they were going like, look at this. Because I liked them at first when I went, whoa, look at that robot's walking by itself. And then they start doing stuff where they go, I pushed it over and it got back up. And you go, don't push it. Don't push it. It's going to remember that. It's gonna be.
I see them kickboxing now, it's or crazy. Whatever, and it's like no.
And the part that upsets me is watching humans be excited for it because you go, you don't see any problem. They announced in the news that they were going to introduce Grok into the Pentagon.
What is Grok?
It's AI. It's Elon Musk's AI.
Oh,
that he uses on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's
what
like...
What does it do?
It breaks all the time because people fuck with it and he's had to reprogram it.
But what does it do? Just answer things and put out things?
Yeah.
Like, is it interesting?
No.
No.
It's just like Elon. It's just uninteresting. And
yes.
And I really... I've been trying to drive this point home, but I think where we messed up in the American experience was not checking in with rich people.
What do you mean? They run everything.
I know. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
My mom, when I was growing up, I was raised by a single mom. And I remember any time we found out someone had money, my mom would go, they're doing fine. They'll figure it out.
When they had
like
money?
If we found out, like, oh, you know, actually, like, his dad is rich, and my mom would go, then they're fine. They'll figure it out. And she'd always go, they can throw money at it. That's what she would say. They can throw money at it. Their problems are solvable. And I think too many of us said that.
Yeah.
So now there's all these wealthy people that are broken inside.
Oh, completely.
And no one's ever gone to Elon like, are you okay, buddy? And maybe just one of those, and he'd go, I don't know. I want to go to space because I can't live here and no one likes me. And then everyone's like, leave Elon alone. He's got so much money. And you go, I'm genuinely just trying to make sure he's all right. Yeah. No one checks in on him. They're always going, you're so smart. How are we getting to Mars? No one ever just goes like, do you have a bad day?
Yeah.
He's like, I did. And the dog robots don't help. They're not as cuddly.
I had an idea for a show. I think I'm going to call it the Billionaire Rehabilitation Center.
Yes.
And it just focuses around a rehab for billionaires where they try to make them empathetic.
My friend did rehab. I've had a bunch of friends in rehab. And one of the things they do is sometimes they'll take you out to a field and pet a horse. So that you can, I'm serious. Dan St. Germain had a fantastic bit about this.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's like, he goes, that's how you know. He's like, damn, I fucked up. If you're in a field just petting a fucking, if you're just in a field petting a horse. But that's what we would need is like just a billionaire to sit there with like a cleaning lady. And she's like, I have kids. And he's like, whoa. And your kids, and like, I love them, you know, like rehab them into being humans again.
Yeah,
because it's they're fortified by yes men.
Yes,
they're fortified by people,
but they want that and they build that, I think they can't deal.
Yeah.
With you see, Elon. I mean, Elon must have got slapped into reality a little with the Doge shit because there was so much pushback on that shit.
But I feel like guys like that, when they get pushback like that, they double down.
That's true.
Because that's always been their way out of it.
That's
like
true.
When you look at like all of his business dealings and you go, well, he gets put in these situations where people go, you're fucked. And then he goes, I'm just going to double down. And then it works.
Absolutely.
And then he gets out of it. So he never has to go like, oh, was I being a dick back there?
It'd be funny if he had one, like for some reason, he's got one blue collar friend in his life, like a cabbie in Brooklyn going, and he invites him over to shit. And he's like, Elon, why are there so many fucking robots?
Yeah.
Why don't you get a real woman to blow you?
He goes, Dominic. I would love to help you, but you're asking too many difficult questions. I don't know. Why aren't you more like Joe Rogan and just say yes? Like billionaires, they should have a blue collar friend. They should have.
Yeah.
If Bezos had a friend that was like a pipe fitter in the pipe fitter union.
Yes.
You know, and Bezos would be like with his weird wonk eye and he's all on steroids now. And he'd be like, hey, my warehouse employees are mad because they're going to try to unionize. And one guy goes, I love unions.
Yes, exactly.
He goes, Mark, he goes, Jeffrey, what you don't understand is this house was bought by
me. Exactly.
I pay my membership fees. I got fucking friends. We go now. Yeah, we hang out.
Yeah. And Bezos ignores it and goes, here, look, I got a new fucking thing. It's the size of an insect and it surveils everything in 300,000 miles.
Isn't that cool, Dominic? And he goes, you're creeping me the fuck out.
No, it's not cool, you fucking idiot.
Get the fuck out. That's what they need. They need a friend that doesn't want things from them. Because you've been in this business a long time, and I've been in it over 20 years, and you see people change because they get famous.
Yeah.
I saw this in an interview one time. I forgot who said it. I think it was Kendrick Lamar. It was like, the difference, fame is you don't change. It's the people around you change.
Interesting.
And they go like, well, you got a lot of stuff now. Can I have some of that stuff?
Yes.
And then they go, if I say yes, he gives me more stuff.
Yes. Yeah, people want things, you know, and I'm at a low level of that, you know, and they're like, hey, can you, you know, it's like very subtle, like the smart people are like subtle about it, but I know what's going on.
You go, don't fart. Have you ever had to confront someone about that?
No.
You ever had to go like, don't play me like
that?
How long have you been in LA?
Oh, God, dude. 23 years.
Okay, so you've watched it go like, you know every trick in the L.A. book.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen...
It's brutal, L.A.
Have you seen people... This is the L.A. thing, that's why I could
Are you from here?
No, I grew up in Colorado. But,
oh, you did?
Yeah, but I started stand-up in Tucson for 2 years, and then I moved here. So I've been here for over 20 years.
Oh, you've been here for over 20 years.
Yeah. I never liked L.A. because the ability of people who at first treat you like, I don't know who this guy is. This guy doesn't have anything for me. Yeah. And then they find out you have something, and you watch them go like,
there he is, there's my guy. I have sat at a party, like kind of a high level party of celebs, just so painful, celebs around a table, you know, and I'm there and I'm not, yeah. I don't rate to be in that, and you're just like, fuck.
Yeah, watching them move. L.A. was the first place I ever had someone, I saw someone look through me, where I was like, oh, they're not talking to me right now. They're like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then they'd see someone and they go, it's great seeing you. And then you're like,
yeah.
Remember the first time that happened to me, I was like angry. I was like, what a fucking shitty dude.
I'm still angry.
Yeah.
Why am I there 23 years? I don't know.
Do you like living there?
Partly, but not anymore. I'll tell you. It's, you know, speaking of the eco side that we're going through, yeah. I mean, last January, not this January, but last January, I was getting evacuation notices. I had my cat, both of them senior, a cat and my dog, Charlotte, my wife, and we're like ready to evacuate. At some point, you remember the LA fire?
Yeah.
At some point, you thought, oh, we're going to die in a fire.
I mean, the way that it happened, too, from us watching it from the East Coast was like, it all got lit up fast. Like
really fast.
I remember Tim Dillon like posted something where he was showing the fire come up to his balcony, and you're like,
oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
Dillon is hilarious because he was also in Austin when they had that freeze out.
I think
he had
a super
just
villain.
Moved there.
He goes, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to shut down your grid, and there's nothing you can do. I love it. They go in, they go, Tim, you're the perfect man to shut down Los Angeles. Set a fire. I'll fan the flames. But I remember texting him and be like, dude, get out of here. And he was like, dude, it happened so fast. He got out of there. He was in Palm Springs when I found
him. He got out. I never left? No, because I am.
Was the fires close to you?
At some point, it was somewhat close. Like someone told me, it's good to be poor in L.A. because you're not in the hills where the fires and the floods get you. You're in the grid with all the valet people.
Yeah, that is funny. Where they go, well, no one's picking up these cars, and then all these poor people are driving like Mercedes Benz and fucking and Audis, being like, everyone died in the fire.
Yeah.
I always think about, you know, because they talk about the tech billionaires, Elon and Zuckerberg. I don't know if it's true, but they're building compounds in New Zealand for like the end of the world.
Totally.
But the
Did
question.
Did you see Mountain Head? It was kind of based on that. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, I guess I'm better informed. I
guess I'll lead the conversation.
No, it was and it kind of sucked. It's a little disappointing, but Carell was in it.
Where the four tech guys go away. I remember that.
It was all about that. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget who wrote it, some big guy, but it kind of sucked.
Yeah, but the premise itself is interesting because you go, well, what happens, right? Mm. Hypothetically, let's play this out. The world ends. You get to your compound. You're going to need security. But then what stops the security from going, well, I got the gun and I know how to fight, and you're just a fucking nerd that knew how to program computers.
Yeah, there's a fucking guy, Douglas Rushoff, who writes about these billionaires. And he's an economist, and he's like just... he can't believe, like, they took him to one of their conferences, and he thought they were going to ask him about questions about, you know, how do we help the society? But no, they just wanted to know, how do we survive? Like, do we have the people with shock collars who are our security?
Holy shit.
They really are taking it to the level of, like, who will have access to our food supply?
You know, I just showed my poor brain, my, like, dumb brain, by going, like, what? Security will turn on you. And they're like, we have electric dog collars. They're not going to do anything. They're going to obey us if they want to eat and live. Yeah. But then my thing is, they just fucking kill me. Because I'm not going to live in a fucking post-apocalyptic society.
No.
Where there's six guys in New Zealand living perfectly fine than everyone else. It's Mad Max.
I was thinking that in a post-apocalyptic society, I did a one-man show about this. Like, you're still trying to get to an audition. You got to suck someone off for gas. You know, you finally get to the audition, and it's just it's for a cereal. And it's a commercial, and it's just a voice in the darkness going, okay, Eddie, it's just down between you and a charred corpse for this role.
So all we got left is this guy that died in the initial blast and you. So show us what you got. Are you ready? Great.
We're going to go in a different direction,
yeah,
Eddie.
Yeah. It really, man, it gets to the point where you're like, are they trying to make it an apocalypse?
Because
what you said about that author that writes about billionaires, you think they go,
you got to read him.
They go, what?
Rush off.
But they go, like, what kind
look
of
look him up.
What kind of philanthropy? Take order three books. We'll stop the podcast. We'll read these books, and then we'll come back.
Douglas Rushoff.
But it is, it's amazing that you go, a normal person thinks, well, what are they going to do with society or whatever? And billionaires go, we don't give a fuck.
They don't care.
At least the Vanderbilts used to make libraries and shit and hospitals. You know?
Jacob, do you think we should put in a bathroom for the proletariat in the library? Yeah. Okay.
Fine. I guess they admit liquids like we do.
Did you find it? Go ahead. Talk about it a little.
Yeah, let's bring him out.
Can they hear you?
No, not really. He's off mic. Fuck. But Douglas Rushkoff.
Name the books.
He's an American theorist, writer, and professor.
Name the books.
First off, I'm looking at his education. He's got a BA from Princeton. He's got his master's from Colorado. I mean, this guy went to the American Film Institute.
He's a good guy, though.
Bibliography.
No, not yet. Just his books.
His books are Free Rides, How to Get High Without Drugs, Siberia, Life in the Trenches of Cyberspace. This is in 94. And then as he goes forward, shit starts getting real. 2010, he wrote Program or Be Programmed, 10 Commands for a Digital Age paperback, Throwing Rocks at the Google Bus in 2016, 2019's Team Human.
That's a good one.
2022's Survival of the Richest, which is probably going to be the one that I read.
That is great.
And then 2024, Program or Be Programmed, 11 Commands for the AI Future.
We haven't read that yet.
Paperback.
But he's great to read because he understands these fucking lunatics.
Yeah, and they say that the most read chapters of his is Chapter 8. In the book,
Survival of the Richest. What's that chapter?
It's called Extinction Rebellion.
Oh, dude.
This is not a drill, an Extinction Rebellion handbook.
Yeah, Extinction Rebellion is the name of a group. I don't know if you know that.
No.
But they actually do stuff, like real shit, to try to stop the ecocide. Like in London, they fucking block the M5. Like, they do real things. They don't do a very nice, you know, they don't do a very nice march where they're not, you know,
sing songs.
Yeah, and talking to the police. They fucking just block. They block the machinery of capitalism.
I couldn't do it.
I know, it's
scary. I don't
scary.
Have the balls to do it.
I'm old now.
Yeah.
That's my thing, is that I have a bad shoulder.
That's really funny. That's your excuse for it. They go, why didn't Eddie fight in the apocalypse? And you go, you know that right shoulder of his?
It is the right shoulder.
It's, we don't know if it's a rotator cuff.
Do you know I can't sleep on my right side now? It's really gotten...
Have you gone to a doctor?
I don't... You know, I'm very old school, you know? I will only go to a doctor if I see blood on the mattress.
That's really funny.
I'm thinking about going soon because just it hurts. Your shoulder,
yeah. Do you try to like prop it up on a pillow?
I work out.
But just when you sleep, it fucking hurts?
I can't sleep on that side. Anyway, it's a whole fucking... I don't know why I brought that up, except
funny. You know what's funny is I'm as inquisitive about this that I am about the apocalypse, where I go, no.
You know, when you get older, dude, it's like you start talking about shit. Really?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a clot?
Yeah. Yeah, I just had that. A buddy of mine had got deep vein thrombosis, and I go, like,
oh, fuck.
So what are you doing? He's like, taking pills, and I can't do this or that. And you go, but I'm at the age now where I'm in my 40s. In my 20s, if I would have heard that, I would have been like, yeah, it sucks. As I'm lighting a cigarette, I'm like, yeah, good luck. And now in my 40s, I go, yeah. What was the first sign?
Yes.
Because I'm like waiting for it to be like, ooh, if my right shoulder starts hurting.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever smoke cigarettes?
No, just a lot of weed.
Okay. I was a cigarettes guy and a weed guy.
So never a cigarette. Are you off of cigarettes now?
Yeah, I've been 13 years without smoking.
Oh, great.
But
you did some damage.
Oh, her and I want to come back. Katie and I are looking to smoke.
Is that right? Because of all the shit?
Why not?
Why not?
I'm going to be going through.
Is it a real pleasure?
Yeah. It's.
By the way, this would be funny. A commercial for smoking as the society collapses.
Yeah, here you go. Listen, hey, it's all fallen. Might as well have a Marlboro Red.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Things like,
you know,
as you watch the chaos outside and have limited access to food supply, and it's going to be 130 tomorrow, you know what might be nice? A Marlboro Red.
That's what it is. That's how you sell it, where you go, not only is it an appetite suppressant, but you can light it off the burning buildings. Every time.
I did that thing about the only thing I like about the LA fires is that I like cigars and I just lean out the window.
It's really funny. Bah, 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 bah. Thanks. Thanks, God. Well, my family's from Northern California and they've dealt with fires. My grandma lived in Lake County, which was like central to where all those fires happened in Northern California.
Is that near Mount Shasta?
No, it is. It is by, it's by Ukiah. Okay, I don't know if you know where Ukiah is. It's up
it north near of Oregon? San Francisco. Oh, okay.
It's south of Oregon. It's about 3 hours north of the Bay Area.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's,
I've been up to fucking Eureka now.
Yeah.
Doing comedy.
Eureka's fucking cool.
It's so fucking
Eureka's
cool.
Very, Mendocino, it's like east of Mendocino. I don't know if you know Mendocino.
I don't want to brag about, do I know Mendocino or not?
I know. All I'm saying is if you watched Murder, She Wrote,
I never did. I had no interest in that. Oh, I'm reading Rush Off. Survival of the Richest.
Well, I'm watching Lansbury. And I'm seeing how all this shit goes down. And that's
I saw her live when she was like 90-something in L.A. That's the thing you do in L.A. Like my wife will go, you know, Angela Lansbury's at the Beverly Hills Cinema today introducing, you know, the Orient Express. She was in that. And so we go, and she's there, you know. Hey, yes, you know, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, she's Jessica Fletcher. She's one of the greatest actresses of our time.
She was great.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I mean, the lady's been in everything.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
She's the best. But when you go, I remember in Northern California, they'd always have the fires or whatever, and people in L.A. would be like, well, it sucks. Sucks you having those fires. And then you're like, fuck you guys. So there was a little bit
There's
of
a real North hates
North
South.
I'll tell you what. I think North hates South more than South hates North.
I agree.
In California.
I agree.
LA, they're like, we're having the time of our lives in New York. And then they're in hoodies in the fog up north going, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Damn, but assholes. I think the North is cooler.
Yes. I agree. I love Northern California.
Yeah.
If I were to live anywhere other than New York, it would probably be Northern California.
Northern California is very cool. I just performed up there.
I love it. I love San Francisco.
Yep, me too.
My dad's from Oakland. He's from the East Bay. I love the East Bay.
It's unlivable as far as rent now because of these techies.
Well, it's starting to come back because the techies moved to Austin. They left.
Oh, good.
And so
Austin
now there's like
such a shithole.
Yeah. Now. So now they're starting to. Now what's happening is San Francisco is becoming affordable. San Francisco. I mean that is like.
I'm a tourist. Still have to have a lot of money. Yeah.
I mean, that's like, it's not anywhere. It's not what it should be.
Right.
As someone that lived there when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time there as a kid. It was like.
How long were you there for?
My dad lived in Marin with my grandma for
I just performed at the Throckmorton.
My dad.
That's awesome.
Worked at the liquor store down the street from the Throckmorton in Mill Valley.
Mill Valley. Yeah. And I was there. I got there at night and not a fucking soul on the street.
Isn't that crazy?
It's
spooky.
Like, where is everybody?
Up in the hills.
Yeah.
Well, they're hill people, but you don't know that. They don't let you know that they're all liberal hill people where they go, everyone has rights. Return to my hills.
Yeah.
But that's a part of my childhood that was probably my fondest memories.
Is that right?
We're staying out there in the summers
what
and winters.
What years were you there for?
92.
I mean, for you. You
89 to 93.
Oh, okay. You there were like 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
I spent about, years. From when I was about six, five to 10 years old. I'd go out because my mom lived in Denver and I'd go out.
Yeah, so you did a lot of playing outdoors.
It was great. I'd run around. Yeah. There was like a lot of, especially in Mill Valley.
Yeah. Children have to run around on treadmills now because it's so dangerous out. Parents just have treadmills.
Which is crazy because we were just free range dodging kidnappers.
Yes. Yes.
There was a, and this is when I grew up in Aurora, which is.
In Colorado. Yeah,
which is southeast of Denver. It's a nice suburb.
Yeah.
One time I was walking to school and I used to cut through this backyard. I'd cut through because it took like 20 minutes off the walk.
Right.
So I cut through this guy's backyard and then went through this drainage up into my school. And one time I was in fifth grade and I'm like walking to school and this van just pulls up and then like pulls in front of the house. Then the door opens and I fucking run.
You knew it was
bad. Run and I was like, that's a kidnapper. And the guy went, whoa. He goes, I live here.
Oh, shit.
And I came around the corner where the house was. And I remember specifically him going, but good job. Yeah. he was like impressive. I was cutting through his backyard, but he was like, hey, good job. A van rolled up on you and you just took off. And I was like, what a brilliant move it would have been if he'd been like, now come here.
Yeah.
That's how he could have got me. Yeah, it was positive reinforcement.
Yeah, totally.
I'd have been like, thank you. And he's like, yep, you're mine now.
There are some very shrewd serial killers. That's what I've
very
learned
shrewd.
Through Netflix. Very shrewd.
You can't be pussyfooting out here while you're catching your victims. It's ABC, ABK, always be killing.
Like when I read that, who was it? Was it Bundy who did that thing where he faked a broken arm?
That's what they did in Silence of the Lambs. They based it
off
Ted Bundy.
That's right.
Ted Bundy would go, hey, I broke my arm. Could
you help me with the
guy.
Couch? And he was handsome. That's what I have going for me.
Yeah.
Is my handsomeness when I just with the ladies.
And they go, oh, am I?
And I've got
my
stand-up.
They go, am I falling in love or am I being sex trafficked? That's what I need. I need to know. Eddie, you've had so many starlets over a dinner go, Eddie. Am I falling for you or are you turning me into a Sultan sex slave?
Has there ever been a movie about a serial killer comic?
No.
That might be funny.
Yeah.
And scary. Like, well, it realistically.
Because then we would start looking.
I don't want Will Arnett as the guy.
We would start looking at people going, are you who they based it off of? This guy's charming. There's a couple comics. And I won't say names, but you know the rule on this podcast. If I say somebody, come to my show live, and I'll tell you the name.
That's great.
That's how it's unfair to keep secrets.
I just name them.
Yeah. I name them, and then I call Mike
and then
at
you
3
say,
in the morning.
Yeah,
and I go,
out.
You got to hit that the fuck
I
out.
Know, I know.
You got to hit that
I
out,
know.
Dude. I'm going to L.A. I'm going to fucking see
know.
Him. But
I
there
know.
Are comics that I've seen that I know that I would go like, mm-hmm. Oh, I think if he became a serial killer, if they found bodies...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Remember Dan St. Germain said that about Facebook, about a comic, where he's like, man, these Facebook posts are going to make a lot more sense if they start finding bodies. And that's what he wrote me all the time. And I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Are you good buddies with Dan?
Oh, he's like my...
Does he live here?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Well, now he's up at... Yeah,
I knew him up in L.A.
Yeah, when he wrote on Superior Donuts and that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, he's doing great now. He's out here. We're writing partners. We have a work on shows together. He's the man. I love Dan St.
Still sober?
Yeah.
Good.
He fights for it. He's doing a good job.
Mm.
But he's the fucking man. He's so funny.
Oh, cool.
And he would never hurt a fly, so he's not who I'm talking about. Oh, God. The phone calls.
Mike, it's Dan. I want you to cut from minute 3 to minute 40.
What I need you to do is, now hear me out. I need you to cut minute 36 to 37.
Yeah.
Put it on the back end at minute 8 and 9.
Yes.
It's going to look like we're talking about
even get rid of Liberace thing.
I know his son. I know his son, Michael Liberace.
Right.
I'm not going to be invited to the compound on Martha's Vineyard.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Have you ever had somebody that you loved and knew a long time in LA change that you saw them? Like, did you ever watch like the business get them? Where you go, damn, you really.
I think so. But I don't know.
Do you stay to yourself?
I kind of stay to myself.
I always love that about you.
I kind of stay to myself. I don't really like.
You. Every time I've ever been on a show with you, the feeling is like the outdoor cat came inside. Everybody goes, he never does this.
Don't pet him.
That's exactly what they go, no. You come in and they go, and he's inside. And then you curl up and they go, he can go up whenever he wants. He's going up.
Yeah.
I think you are one of the funniest human beings of all time. I have watched your stand-up with pure enjoyment the entire time I've done comedy. It's very rare. I think I've became jaded on a lot of people. But if you've never watched Eddie Pepitone, go on YouTube and you have, I think, like 3 or 4 specials up there. How many specials?
Well, I don't know, but the new one is called The Collapse.
The Collapse is fantastic. Where did you film that?
Chicago at a place called Lincoln Hall, which is mainly for, you know it?
I know Lincoln
Hall. Mainly for bands.
Yeah. But wonderful, kind of The Collapse, wonderful introduction by Gary Goldman.
Yes. I'm doing his show tomorrow in Union Hall.
Hell yeah. Gary's
man,
one of
is he a good
he's
comic.
Like he's a craftsman.
He is a comic craftsman.
It's Joe List and I always talk about this, but you watch a Goldman bit and it's like admiring a wonderful piece of furniture where you go like, how did he do the ends? How did he get the ends like that?
That's perfectly put.
Yeah, you go, I've been woodworking my whole life and I can't get...
It's so funny because I love Gary and he's a big fan of mine and we are opposites.
Yes.
Like I go up there just spewing shit and he's up there...
It's everything is like...
Yeah.
It's I don't know, man, but it's... In a world where there's so much shit...
In
a world with poop everywhere... Find people you like and then support them. And I think you're one of those guys where it's like, I was so happy you were coming on the podcast.
Thanks.
Because I think you're fucking hilarious. The Collapse on YouTube. Go watch it. I watched it. It's fucking fantastic. I didn't want to give away too many bits. The Apple Watch is the opener, so you can't get fucking mad at me.
Yeah.
We'll put the link down there.
Great.
Eddie Pepitone, New York City legend. LA phenomenon. Trying to go big.
It's Colorado also, pariah.
This son of a bitch better never come to the 5280. He comes a mile high, we scalp him. Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks, dude. Man.